the choir would come on up, please.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Tim.
What's your dog?
welcome to Helen Baptist Church. As soon as I find this thing, had a good night last night at the church with some of our senior folks. Really enjoyed that. We did we did an icebreaker where we had people fill write down something about themselves that nobody else would know. So let me ask you this question. Somebody wrote down on a piece of paper, "I preached a funeral and I'm a lady." So does anybody know who in our church would fit that bill, right? So hey, the next time I go out of church, out of town on Sunday, I got a new replacement. Does anybody have any idea who in this church would have preached a funeral and she's a lady? Anybody? Miss Josetta, would you raise your hand? Can you believe Josetta preached a funeral, right? She said the pastor didn't show up and she had to do something, amen? And that's almost like a Bible story about Deborah. Well, somebody had to do it, right? So now if I ever like die in a car accident on the way here and don't show up, Josetta's got it covered. Then there was somebody that missed his wedding by 2 days, and she thought that she had been stood up because he didn't show up for the actual wedding day. Anybody know who did that in this church? Bob Melhorn, would you raise your hand? All right, here's one. Somebody in our church actually sat on Theodore Roosevelt's head at Mount Rushmore and had lunch. Anybody know who did that? Ron Cornelius? In 1973, the Indians, I didn't know this. I actually learned history. I did not know this because I was like, what, five or six in 1973? The Indians were threatening to go to Mount Rushmore and paint all the faces red, which would have been hilarious. But he was guarding and so he was able to go. He worked for the parks, but he was able to go in places where you don't normally go, and he was able to go there. And then one more. One of our men was in Berlin in the early 70s. Does anybody know who that was? That was Freddie. So we got, somebody wrote down, "I love bacon." I'm like, you're in the South. Everybody in this room loves bacon. And he said, "No, I mean, I really love bacon." That was Lloyd. Then we have one, so you're supposed to guess who it is, right? Well, we've got everybody in that room's at least 60 or older, and here's what the paper says. "I've been to the hospital 7 times. I thought that's everybody in this room. You know, I mean, who wrote that down? And we guessed and we guessed and we guessed, and it was Jake. Jake came last night and he did the message. So had a lot of fun, got a chance just to, and I know you guys know everybody. You know what? We got a good church family. And sometimes just taking the effort to spend time with somebody else, you learn a lot about them, right? So if you ever need a funeral replacement, Josetta's your lady. All right, I don't have any other announcements. Pray for Africa that we can get the roof put back on. We're in the process of doing that. We still have some folks that are sick, some aren't, you know, still having to deal with things with COVID and stuff. So just keep them in your prayer. All right, Brother Ron.
All right, if everybody please stand and get that red hymn book and turn to hymn number 183, or Brother Dickens come forth to receive the morning offering.
187.
Sorry. Brother Ron, would you ask blessing on offering, please? Amen.
today that God would give him a son. Blessed Isaac was his name, the greatest gift he'd ever known. Then came the day, who would have dreamed that God would say, you gotta give him to me. And on this
that Natalie sang that song, because today I was like, didn't know what I wanted to sing, but I know that today's my last Sunday and it's bittersweet for me. It's really sad. I'm gonna miss my church family that I've had my whole life. But the song that Natalie sang and this song and then My God Is Real were the three songs when I found out that we were moving that kind of helped me through. Because, you know, it's really hard when God puts you in a situation like that, to be like, this is where I want you. I want you to move. It's hard for you to put your flesh aside and to fully understand, you know, why, God, like, why would you ask me to leave behind everything I've ever known? Well, it's because that's my Isaac. I'm too comfortable where I'm at, and God wants me to grow. He wants me and Cody to grow. And so, you know, he's given us this opportunity that's scary. But it's exciting, because if you're not excited about God giving you an opportunity to better serve him and become closer to him, then, I mean, you have a personal problem, I guess. But you need to be praying about situations like that. I had been praying for a while, you know, Lord, just give me an opportunity. Well, I never would have imagined it would have been one this big. So just pray for us. I'm nervous, I'm scared, but overall I'm truly excited, and I'm blessed that, you know, God sees fit that I'm strong enough to handle this and to grow my relationship with him. So I'm going to sing Wherever You Are, and since it's my last Sunday, I'm going to sing too, and then I'm going to sing My God Is Real. And just keep in mind that, like, these are the songs that helped me overcome the doubt and the questioning with moving and just take the leap of faith. Are you standing at a crossroad, wondering which road you should take, and you're dreading the decision and a possible mistake? But the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God can't keep you, and you will never be out of His care. Remember that the Lord's already there. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are. You are waiting to hear thunder and see lightning in the sky. Oh, but God can work His wonders through a still small voice inside. So keep listening and learning and continue on your journey, following the One who is the way. Oh, He's the only road you need to take. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are. Sometimes this world can't seem to understand how in trouble sometimes I'm able to stand. But in the grace and the mercy my Lord has given me, in the midst of my storm, He calms the raging sea. My God is real. He's the answer to my prayers, a comfort in my time of need. My God is real. He's the truth, the light, the way, the one true saving grace I feel. Oh yes, my God is real. There was was a time in my life that I could not believe that God could save a sinner like me. But then down on my knees in an altar of prayer, God was forgiving and He met me there. My God is real. He's the answer to my prayers, a comfort in my time of need. My God is real. He's the truth, the light, the way, the one true saving grace I feel. Oh yes, my God is real. My God is real. He's the answer to my prayers, a comfort in my time of need. My God is real. He's the truth, the light, the way, the one true saving grace I feel. Oh yes, my God is real.
Job in this crowd for sure. All right, if we're all thankful for Haley, give a good amen. You know what, Haley, you're teaching future deacons, amen. We'll just have to remember that and show them that video when they're little. I appreciate little kids You know, I told Maggie when we had him, we said, you just never know what they're going to do, you know. And weddings and, you know, baptisms are always. I remember somebody telling me about Jocelyn getting baptized here and then not wanting to go completely under and grabbing the side of the baptistry. So always. But Haley, thank you for working with them. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and we're just going to stay here for just a minute. Genesis chapter 2, and as you find that, we'll pray. Good to hear the Bible's turn. Hope you bring a Bible with you. Of course, today you could have a phone too, but you know, I tell the folks in Africa, the reason why it's good to look at a Bible either on your phone or, you know, a Bible is so that you can go back and look at it later on, and then you know I'm not making it up, amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for today, just being able to be in your house. Lord, thank you that, Lord, the state that we live in, thank you for just helping us out. Thank you, Father, for our church and just being able to put some things behind us. And Lord, I just want to personally thank you this morning for keeping the people in our church family safe through all the things we've been through in the last year. And Lord, I just pray as we just turn our thoughts and our minds on the future and what you have for us, I pray that you'd help us today just to learn a little bit more of your heart. Father, I pray that you'd forgive us for where we let you down, Lord, that you would just take your word and you'd help us. Jesus, thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, and I want you to look, if you would, in verse 18, the Bible says this. Actually, go to verse 16. Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle. And then verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So, you know, that's a familiar story. You know, I want you to notice something here. Before God tells us about the process of how he made Adam, I want you to notice something here. He says this, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And then he begins to tell us that story. It's obviously that Adam was made before Eve. But it's also neat to hear this, that God just said he told the man. It wasn't at that moment, I don't believe Eve was on the scene yet. At the very beginning, Adam had direction of what that tree was. For a while there, and we don't know how long, Adam and God were in that garden together, just them. Now, some people believe it was only a day. I don't think there's enough scripture to say that. We don't really know how much time passed. But we know this, that it seems like God was telling him there, and he was the only one in the garden at that time when he told him that, saying, hey, stay away from me. Adam would need to know that too, because you would hate to just accidentally walk up there and eat it and realize you just plunged the whole world into sin. So no doubt he knew about the tree before Adam ever got there. Then I want you to notice something else about this, that God pointed out he noticed something about Adam. Now God is all-knowing. Do you believe that this morning? Give me an amen, right? So it's not like God put Adam in the garden and then went, whoa, wait a minute, I missed something. He's lonely. God didn't do that. God already knew what Adam was going to need. But have you ever thought about why he didn't make Adam and Eve together? I want you to notice something else. When he spoke the animals and he talked about those other things, they just became living souls. But when it came to Eve, he put Adam to sleep. He then took a rib out of Adam and he made Eve. Eve in some way was different than Adam. Even though bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he was made different than the way God made man. And God made Eve because Adam needed somebody. Why did God make Adam? See, for the same reason that God later on put Eve in the Garden of Eden is the same exact reason that God made man to begin with. God has everything, and God can do whatever he wants to do. But there was something missing in God's life that God wanted to be a part of who he was. And that was, he desperately wanted somebody that he could be a friend with. And a friend really cannot be a friend, we discussed this before, if there's no choice in the matter. The angels were just being, because they were angels, you know, and the trees because they were trees, and the animals because they were animals. But when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, it was different than anything that he ever made, and he put Adam in the garden because he wanted the fellowship of man. And we can tell that, why do you think God put in there that every day in the cool of that day that God walked with Adam? You know what he was saying? The reason why God would do that. Why would God go leave heaven, come down here and walk every day? Why did he do that? Because he wanted the fellowship that he got from Adam. He enjoyed that friendship. It was something different than anything he has ever made. Somebody that could talk back to him. Somebody that can share the same feelings. Remember, God made Adam in his own image to be exactly that. The first time, you're not going to find anything in the Bible that says an angel is a friend of God. You won't find anything in the Bible talking about animals like that, but you will find this. This phrase linked to a human being, Abraham, the friend of God. So God made him with the sole purpose of being a friend and having that fellowship with him every single day. Now, have you ever thought, why did God not make Eve on the same day he made Adam? Because he knew Adam was lonely. Why the lapse in time? Let me give you a thought. When Eve came shortly thereafter, she ended up going to that tree and disobeying God. And at that moment, then Adam also disobeyed God and plunged the whole world into sin. Perhaps the reason why God left the gap is because he knew what would happen when Eve got in that garden. To say that that took God by surprise when Eve ate the tree, that doesn't line up with who he is. He's all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. He knew what would happen when she got there. And maybe, perhaps, he held back for this purpose of knowing that when I do this, when I give him the same friend that I need, I also know that this is going to happen. But the reason why he did it is because he realized Adam had the same need he did. Adam was alone in that garden with nobody else like him, and he knew that that wasn't good for him, so he gave Adam Eve, even though he knew what that would one day later cost him. And the reason why he made us is the same reason why he gave Adam a friend. It's because God knew, even though he knew the risk associated with bringing a human being to this planet, the value in that friendship to him exceeded the price that would one day later come. And that's the value of a friend. It's a value of a friend. It's not, he's not just a God to us. He is a friend to us. And I want to show you this, if you would. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 18. Have you ever heard anybody say this, that you're just not a people person? Have you ever been around somebody that says they just don't like people? Or have you ever met people that say, I'd rather just be by myself? Right? You ever heard those phrases before? And you can use all kinds of excuses, but I want to show you without you getting mad at me this morning that that's not really a biblical principle. Other than that, or God made a big mistake. You know what he said, Greg? He said it's not good for man to be alone, so he made Adam a friend. The reason why God made Adam to be his friend is for the very same reason. It's because God needed somebody to share that with. And a lot of times we think, well, you know, that the inconvenience involved in getting close to people is messy, right? The inconvenience of having a friend sometimes is messy. Sometimes opening yourself up to be able to make that friend sometimes is messy, but what God is saying, the value of a friend far exceeds the journey that it takes to make one. And here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So we're going to look at it this two ways. From the point of Jesus, we can learn from Jesus what it's like to really be a friend. Number one, that by making Adam, he said he needed one. Number two, by making Eve, he said we needed one. But then he says this, if I'm going to have friends, what do I need to do? I got to show myself friendly. It doesn't say, well, that lies on the other person. It says, I need to do that. You know, this morning, aren't you glad that God showed himself friendly to you? I did not initiate the relationship. God initiated the relationship with me. God's a little scary. I mean, he lives where I can't see. I mean, he's going to one day send people to hell who do not believe him. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He can cause thunder and lightning. People, when they see him, they fall on the ground as they were dead. And there's you and I would obviously want to stand back from somebody like that. And the only way we could ever be friends with somebody like that and comfortable that he's not just going to squish us like a bug, he's going to have to show himself friendly. Man. He's going to have to say, hey, I'm a God of love, and I want to be a part of your life. He's going to have to initiate the relationship with us. Nobody here has a friendship with God that you started. He started it with us. Amen. But remember, Proverbs isn't written to God. He already knew it. Proverbs is written to me and you. And listen, no man can walk alone. And the Bible talks about it in Ecclesiastes. If you walk alone, you know, and then you end up falling, there's nobody there to pick you up. Part of the experience of a Christian life, and you know, I know that sometimes, you know, is a little bit difficult because people can be a problem. But have we not been a problem to God? Because of people, God had to send his son to the cross. Because of people, God had to watch his son die on that cross. But God, because of what we mean to him, the journey was worth it to God. But in order to forge that friendship, God had to come down and show himself friendly. God's the one that sought Abraham out and said, hey, Abraham, if you're willing to, I want to take you on a journey. Abraham, if you'll trust me, I'm going to make you a mighty nation. Abraham didn't go to God. God went to Abraham. Moses didn't go to God. God went to Moses. And may I tell you something? I didn't go to God. God came to me. And he showed himself friendly to me. He's the one that took the time to build that relationship. The first time he reached out to me, didn't give him the time of day. First time he reached out to me, I was busy with other things. Second time he reached out to me, I had my mind in other places. But I am so thankful that the God of heaven wanted to have a friendship with Dave Barnhouse, and he kept inviting me back over and over and over again. And I'm so thankful. There's a day when that friendship became mutual. I am thankful for the day that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. But you know what? Down here on this earth, that we're going to have to make an impact. We're going to have to allow other people in our life, even though doing so, it has some inconveniences. Even though doing so, but the benefits far outweigh the journey that it takes to get to that point in our life. Because every human being, listen, we're all sad. We can all be lonely. We can all have a difficult time. And to deny that doesn't make you tough. It just makes you oblivious to the truth. We do need that, right? And when the Bible says, hey, in order for a man to have friends, I'm going to have to take up the time, open myself up, and be vulnerable to other people and let them into my life. And some of the greatest things in my Christian life is having good, godly Christian friends that are around me, you know, that have helped grow me over the years and been a blessing in my life. Had I not taken the time and the opportunity to make those friends, I wouldn't have them. And you know what? I would say that you undo a lot of that in my life. You're going to undo a lot about who you see here today. And I am so thankful when God was teaching me about friends. Number one, he said, Dave, listen. The day that I put Eve in that garden, I knew what that would do. But I also knew how bad Adam needed her. And the day that I put Adam in the garden, I knew how much I wanted him to be a part of my life, but I also knew what it cost me. If you believe God is God, on the very day he put Adam in that garden, he knew he just nailed Jesus to the cross. That's what that friendship cost him in order to have that relationship with me. So therefore, it backed him up when he said this, "Hey, Dave, let me teach you something about friends. A man that hath friends, got to show himself friendly."
Amen.
You got to open yourself up to other people. And even though there's pain and sorrow that comes in involved in that, that the journey is well worth it. Let's look at another aspect of being a friend. I want you, if you would, go with me to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. So you're in the process of the friends, and you're opening yourself up. Especially, let me add this to you. If we're going to reach a lost and dying world, if you're going to earn the right to tomorrow to share the gospel with somebody else, you're going to have to make that initial contact. Now, not to say somebody out of the blue isn't going to just walk up to you and say, "Hey, by the way, can you tell me how to go to heaven?" I mean, that does happen in a rare occasion, right? But most of the time, it's going to be born out of a relationship. Most of the time, it's going to have a friendship embedded somewhere along the way that's going to give you the door and the opportunity to share the gospel. Somewhere along the line, it's going to involve a relationship with somebody else. And that's the reason why we reach out to people. That's the reason why we say hi to people. That's the reason why we let other people into our lives. Why? Because in that platform, that's the platform we use to tell them about Jesus. That's the platform we use to get close enough to be able to do that. That's where we begin to help each other. That's where iron sharpens iron. When two people walk together as a friend, that's what lifts you up when the world's got you beat down. You know, God is in heaven, but he hasn't left us here by ourselves. Maybe he'd love to help you with a good friend, but in order to be able to do that, you got to show yourself friendly. When I was in Africa, for 3 days, when somebody told me that they used to have anxiety, I used to think, yeah, just get over that, right? You know, get out of bed, put a smile on your face, and get on with life, right? Do you know why I had that attitude about anxiety? I never had anxiety before. I just thought in my mind it was a figment of your mind, you know? And hey, you know, grab your bootstraps and get moving. Then I went to Africa. And I got there, the first 3 days there, it felt like I lost my mind. It actually felt, you ever heard somebody say anxiety is like somebody sitting on your chest? They were on my chest. And I was trying to get them off, and I couldn't do it. I was trying in all of my strength that I possibly could do to muscle through that. And when I couldn't get control of my mind, and I was crying like crazy, the devil put it in my mind. I brought my family to die in Africa. I should have never resigned that church. When I started going through those kinds of things in my mind, may I tell you something? I thought, now who in the world can I call and tell them I'm going crazy and them not judge me? Who in the world can I call when I can't even quit crying? Who can I have a conversation with that's not going to just hang up the phone? You know what I did? I called a friend that God gave me many years ago when I was in New Orleans. His name's John Melton, and I called him. Now, you know what he did at first? He said, "Dave, are you reading your Bible?" And I'm like, "No, I never thought about that. Of course I'm reading my Bible." You know, and he said, "Dave, are you praying?" I'm like, "If you give me one more lame answer, you know." I said, "Yes, I'm praying." I said, "If I knew what was wrong with me, I wouldn't be calling you." Anyway, he said, "Well, what can I do for you?" I said, "Listen, just don't hang up the phone." I said, "Just don't hang up the phone." And for 3 days, God was up there, but he was down here through the form of John Milton, who helped me through a pretty dark time. Because God gave me a friend. You know, and this is an aspect about a friend that's really important in Proverbs chapter 17. In verse 17, the Bible says this: "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born of adversity." Now, me and you might not have the right to say that, but remember, this is coming from God himself. And God is giving me advice about friends, and here's what he said. He said, "Dave, a friend loves at all times." When Jesus was on the cross and they were nailing him to that cross, what did he say that day when he was on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. You know what he was doing? He was showing me what it's like to be a friend. He was saying, Dave, a friend loves at all times, not just when you're getting something out of the relationship, but when all you're doing is giving, you still love at all times. And he just didn't tell me that. He showed me that. Can you see him sitting on a beach with some hot coals and some fish on it? And Peter's in a boat. And Peter actually denied his friendship with Jesus Christ. And Peter is seeing him from the very first time he gets to the beach. There's no awkward conversation. There's no yelling. There's no quarreling going on. What do you see? Jesus loving at all times. In fact, he even asked him that day, hey, Peter, do you love me? Do you know Jesus never had to tell Peter that he loved him? You would think that Peter might be questioning that because of what he did. You would think it'd be obvious that Peter should be asking that question. Jesus, do you love me? I mean, look what I did. You know, but he didn't ask the question. God asked the question through Jesus. Peter didn't. You know why? Peter knew by Jesus' action that Peter loved him. Why? Because a friend loves at all times. Even that person that you've invested time and energy in may end up hurting you for a time. That is not the time to leave a friend. A friend is much more than that. A friend says not just, and listen, these are things that we can learn in every single relationship. Listen, when we get married, who in the world gets married thinking that everything's going to be roses? If not, not just me, because I'll get in trouble. We all got ripped off, right? You know, I mean, somebody lied to you if that happened. I mean, when I do marriage account, I try to think of every crazy thing I could tell them to see. You know, I'm gonna go one further. I honestly believe this. Even in marriage, if one person ends up cheating on the other, you know what I tell them in counseling? I said, if you can't forgive them, then I'm not gonna marry you. Do you know why? Because that verse says this, Mike. A friend loves at all times. Not just when it benefits me, but when it benefits them. And a true friendship never gives up. And Lord, I'm so glad since the day that I became Jesus' friend, I'm glad he has not given up on me. There's been lots of times I put some distance between that friendship with me and him. There is lots of times I have offended him. There are days that I haven't even called him. But he still loves me. And he's still there for me. And he is never going to give up on me. Why? Because a friend loves at all times. In other words, when you have a true friend, you give up your right to be offended in order to have that friend. That's how special that friend is, because you can't be offended and to love at all times. And can you know, can you just see Jesus? He's out there making friends. He's showing himself friendly. He's showing himself friendly to Zacchaeus. He's showing himself friendly to the woman at the well. He's showing himself friendly even to Judas, when he knows Judas is actually, Jesus is washing Judas's feet, takes his sandals off. What? You know what? If I was Jesus washing Judas's feet, you know what I'd do? I'd be like washing his feet and go around, you know, and think. You know, people would be like, whoa, something going on between Jesus and Judas, you know. But you know what Jesus was doing to Judas? Being a friend. Do you know when Judas kissed Jesus, you know what he said? Why are you betraying a friend? Jesus did not betray Judas. Judas betrayed him. Because a friend loves at all time. You know, so you think about just two things we learned. I mean, listen, if you're going to have friends, you're going to have to show yourself friendly. Number two, and there's a risk involved in that. Number two, a friend loves at all times. Let me just read this to you. One more verse, if you would. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And I want you to look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6. The Bible says this: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. God's teaching us one more thing about a friend. He's saying, Dave, he's saying the wounds of a friend are faithful. I don't have time to turn to it. I want you to think about Samson. I want you to think about the friendship that God had with Samson. God had given him this ability to be super strong. God was with him in times that he shouldn't have been with him. God was very patient with Samson. And then there was one day when Samson chose the friendship of Delilah more than the friendship of God, trusted Delilah more than he trusted God, and he told Delilah what made him strong. And that day, Delilah cut his hair, and he was left all alone. On that day when he woke up, Delilah was gone. That day that he woke up, the Philistines came in and got him, Greg. Grabbed him by the hands. They took a hot poker stick, warmed it up in the fire until it was bright red, and stuck his eyeballs out that day. That day, nobody else talked to him. He was a mockery to Israel. He was a mockery to the Philistines. He's in a jail cell by himself. He's brought out to be made fun of. He has to grind corn by himself. But may I tell you something? During that process, God, his friend, is talking to his heart and saying, hey, listen, same way with Jonah. Jonah was all by himself in that whale. He's swimming in digestive juices, but there was somebody there with him. You know, yes, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace, he had a friend. But that was during good, I mean, they were doing something good, right? All right, so that was kind of cool that Jesus showed up in the fire, but Jesus showed up in that whale belly. You know what? Jesus showed up in the jail cell with Samson. And even though he didn't have to be, he was. Why? Because his friend was there. Right? And what did God do to the spirit of Jonah? And then that he talked to him. Jonah asked for forgiveness. The friendship, you know, a friend got right with a friend that day, and guess what happened? The whale got sick and up he came. You know? And you know what happened while Samson was in the jail cell? He got right with a friend. The friend never left him. The friend was in there with him. His hair started to grow back. I just love this. Can you imagine Samson telling his friend this one more time? And God's saying, come on, Samson, just me and you. And he walks out there, and everybody's making fun of him. But he's got his friend. And those wounds that were hard for Samson to have to go through, they were faithful because the friend never left him. And he was with him to the very end. And may I tell you something? Boy, what a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that even if you mess up, everybody, your spouse can leave you, you can lose your job, your kids could not want anything to do with you. There is not a place in your life that you can go that's so deep, that's so dark, that Jesus Christ would abandon his friendship with you. You can't find a place like that. And no matter where that is, he's there. And may I tell you, he's faithful. And the wounds may hurt, but once they heal, woo-wee, watch out when they heal. Because you know what you saw there? Oh, you might look at Samson and say, he's all washed up, except Samson had a friend. You may think, hey, there's no hope for Jonah. We're not going to see him again, except Jonah had a friend. And may I tell you something? I'm so thankful that I have a friend. I'm so thankful that he sat with me in dark times. It's good to praise God about the good times. It's good to praise God when things are going right. Have you ever done a little bit of backsliding? You ever gotten in a spot that you shouldn't have been? You ever been away from God and think that nobody else cares for me? I'll tell you something, you are never by yourself. You may feel like you're lost. You may feel like there's no way out, but may I tell you something? If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he entered in with you that day when he came and initiated that friendship in your heart, and then you responded to that friendship and you asked him to save you, that's a friendship that's never going to end. Amen. And no matter how far away you get, he's still there, and he is faithful. And although the process, because he loves you, the process of correction may be a little bit hurtful, but faithful are the wounds of a friend, because his best interest is your end product, and he's going to take care of you. May I tell you something? When you get to heaven, isn't it going to be really good to see an old friend? Amen. To know. I mean, I'm just that kind. I am my wife and my family both say I can make friends with a rock, right? Except rocks aren't very useful friends. You know, I'm thankful for the friends that God put in my life. I could tell you illustration after illustration after illustration of how thankful that I am that I've got somebody I could pick up the phone right now. There are other human beings. You know, number one, my wife, I don't know where she's at, somewhere is in here today. My wife, zero secrets. There is not a thing on Judgment Day that my wife's going to say, boy, didn't see that coming. But may I tell you something? I also have friends that I can be that honest with, that on Judgment Day, there's not a thing in the world that's missing. Not a thing. But you can't just do that with anybody. It's got to be somebody that's a friend. Maybe you have somebody like that, but maybe it's time for you to be that to somebody else. And you can't do it unless you show yourself friendly. But at the bottom line of all of that, I am so thankful. What are we saying? What a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't that odd that we have a song that actually talks about what a friend we have with Jesus? Because he truly is the best example. And you can take, you know what? Your wife ought to be your friend. If your wife's just your wife, you're missing out. If your husband's just your husband, you're missing out. If your kids are just your kids and not your friend, you're missing out. If the people you go to church with are just an occasion to you and are just somebody you know but not your friend, you're missing out. There's a value in friendship that God embedded in the Bible. When he said, it's not good for me to be alone, I'm going to make Adam. And it's not good for Adam to be alone, I'm going to make Eve. And may I tell you, it doesn't take a village for sure, but it does take God. Amen. And we need him in our lives. And then what we learn, we need other people in our lives to be able to share that with. But are we willing tonight? First off, if you're here and you don't know, listen, you can know Jesus' name. You can know somebody. You can know where they live. You can even have their phone number in your phone, but it don't make them your friend. Okay? You can sit in God's house. You can be around God's people, but it doesn't make God your friend. You can read the Bible. You can even pray, but it doesn't make God your friend. God's already after you. Are you willing to respond to that friendship and accept him? That's number one. Number two, then are you then willing, once you know the Lord, to be able to open your heart to other people? Nobody in this church should ever have to walk through any road by themselves. By themselves. I'm going to just tell this. Maybe I shouldn't tell this, but I think Sarah would be okay with this. I had to call Mike on Saturday. I had to give Mike a very odd request. Now, we have a friend that's been coming to this church, lives next to Fran Grooms. Her name's Sarah. Sarah has a horse. Loved the horse. Last week, I stayed after church because Sarah wanted to take my boys. My boys wanted to say goodbye to Earl. That's her horse. And my son said, listen, Dad, Sarah really loves that horse. Can we go say goodbye to the horse? Now, you know, you're thinking it's Sunday, got 1,000 things to do, but hey, the horse is important to Sarah. The horse is important to me. Go see the horse. So they went and saw the horse. Came back, talked to her Wednesday night. She showed me pictures, and it's 29 years old. Horses don't live much longer than that. Saturday, Sarah calls me, and she's crying. And I told her Wednesday night, I said, listen, I'll help you. If that horse needs to go down, you know, nobody wants to do that to their own horse. If you got a friend, in fact, I got deals. You know, you shoot your friend's dog, but not your dog, right? So she called me and she said, I think it's time Earl's not going to make it. And I'm in Cookeville, Greg, and I'm thinking, who in the world can help me? So I called Brother Mike. And Brother Mike got the oddest phone call that a deacon's ever gotten before, I'm sure. Hey, Brother Mike, can you help me? He's like, doing what? I said, I need you to go help a friend. You know what Mike did? He wouldn't go help a friend. And may I tell you something? There's nothing better than just acting like Jesus. And there's nothing better than having other people in your life. And there's always a risk involved in that. But if you're here today, would you open your heart to the greatest friend ever? And then as people, maybe there's some things that we can learn about friendship that would help every relationship that we have. Every one of them could benefit from us walking out of here and just learning some things about being a friend. And I am so glad there's going to be a reunion one day when I get to see my old friend. And man, to be able to walk with him the way Adam walked with him in the garden, how cool is that? To be able to, I hope sometime in eternity, Lord, I just get 10 minutes with him, just me and him. And it'd be okay to wait that long to do it, just to sit down with him and say, hey, I got to know, why in the world would you care about me? You know what he's going to say? Dave, because you're my friend. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And Lord, thank you for being a good example to us about friendship. Lord, there's so much that we can learn. We didn't have no greater teacher than you. Lord, you showed us what it's like to be friendly. Lord, you approached me. A sinner would be obviously apprehensive about a friendship with God because we're guilty. But Lord, thank you for initiating that friendship with me. And God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that a friend loves at all times. And Lord, there's not one time in my life you've ever left me alone. There's not one time in my life that I have felt unloved by you. Lord, I might not have been in the place where I needed to be, but I am thankful that you always were. And God, I want to thank you that even in my friendship with you, that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Lord, thank you for the hard conversations you've had to have with my heart, Lord, but you've never left me alone. Lord, you've seen me through the darkest valley a person could ever walk, Lord, but you've always been there, and I want to thank you. Lord, help me to be that friend to somebody else, and Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that does not know you like that, that today they could respond to the friendship you're already showing them in their heart right now. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. And during the invitation, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I can't tell you how much he loves you.